You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
His name is Nick Wright again. It's not Dick Wrong. Not going to call him that. It's Nick Wright, Fox Sports 1, first things first. So, good dude. A lot of fun. Sign up for the DP Show newsletter, available daily at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Can't say enough about it. If you're a fan of the show, you got to have it, danpatrick.com. And enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right corner, and Mario will make sure that he gets all of the information there and send you out that newsletter. It summarizes what we did on the program, if that's possible. By the way, I was talking about defense and how important defense has been, winning championships. Even for Tom Brady, his last two Super Bowls, high-scoring offense with the Rams, shut down, 3 points. High-scoring offense, Kansas City, 9 points, no touchdowns. In his Super Bowls, Tom Brady's teams are 4-0 when he throws for less than 265 yards. He threw for 201 against Kansas City. When he throws for over 265 yards, Brady is only 3-3 in Super Bowls.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Also, recapping our big story from yesterday with Russell Wilson, we did follow up. We actually heard from a source as we were trying to get more information to see how this went over with the Seahawks. And from our source, the team not happy. Tension is high in Seattle. The staff is blaming Russell and his camp for taking this story to the media. And then our source went on to say that either they fix this, and I think from what I'm told that Russell wanted to create some kind of urgency. And if it doesn't do that, then the marriage in Seattle is probably going to end. The current situation, according to my source, says is not sustainable the way it is right now. So that takes this another step here with Russell Wilson, the message that he was trying to send or did send. And the question is, how is this going to be received by the Seattle Seahawks? 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes undergoing surgery, turf toe. And we started talking about this about 3 hours ago. And we were just going around the room going, do we know exactly what a turf toe is? Because it gets thrown around a lot. And remember when Deion Sanders was with us at the Super Bowl and he took off his sock and he showed us that toe? That was turf toe that never healed, whether he had surgery on it or not. Jack Lambert, the Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, I think had turf toe and it stayed with him the rest of his career. So we thought, you know what, let's bring in somebody who knows what they're talking about. A former NFL offensive lineman won a Super Bowl with Washington. A Harvard-trained orthopedic, Dr. Mark Addix, and good to have you back on here, Doc. So, do you want us to tell you what we think turf toe is, and then you could probably correct us on this?
That'd be great. Let's see what you guys got. Let's see how good you are.
All right, I'm going to start with you, Paulie. What do you think turf toe is?
Like a ligament sprain in the toe that hampers an athlete from pushing off, like sprinting, like running.
All right. Fritz, you got a definition for turf toe?
One's toe is so severely sprained from the pounding on the turf that it does something where it kind of disconnects the toe from the other toes and needs to be surgically fixed or snapped back into place.
All right, Seton?
It is an injury that when, say, like wide receivers are going to get their second foot in and they drag it along the
turf. Oh, that's turf toe. Oh.
Their toe is on the turf and then it gets hurt like that. Okay. That's turf toe. Okay.
Oh, I did not look at it that way. Yes, McClellan.
So I thought it was a rug burn style injury for many times. Those are the worst when you're playing with your kids, a rug burn. Mm. But I do believe it's a ligament underneath your toe that connects to the foot.
Okay, let's bring in Doc. And Doc, what exactly is turf toe?
Well, I think example one wins, the ligament injury. So it can be a ligament injury or it can be an injury to the plantar plate, which is almost like a cartilage thing that's on the bottom of the toe. It is the big toe joint, and it rarely is an injury that requires surgery. The vast majority of players don't require surgery. In the NFL, there was a study that was done that had about 30 guys with turf toe injuries that were pretty severe, and only about 10% ended up requiring some surgery. Deion Sanders did require surgery. Deion Sanders turf toe injury did end his career, essentially. He stuck around for a couple more years, but never really was the same. Antonio Gates had a pretty bad turf toe, had surgery in 2008 and played many years, was very productive after that injury and surgery. So generally speaking, guys do okay. I think Dion was, as his foot would attest, was an extreme case.
Did Mahomes play the Super Bowl with a torn ligament?
Yeah, certainly he did. I mean, in other words, when you have a turf toe injury, there are three grades, grade one, grade two, grade three. It's the same for almost anything. Grade one, just a few of the fibers are torn. Grade two, a bunch more are torn. Grade three, it's completely disruptive. So for someone to need surgery, generally there's got to be a little bone chip that's in the joint, or the toe has to be somewhat unstable, which would tell you that that ligament tear had to be pretty significant.
What's the normal timeline for recovery?
So, I mean, the normal timeline for a guy who does not require surgery, generally about 8 weeks. So it's not short, even for guys that don't require surgery. When you do require surgery, it's generally a four-month recovery. Can go out to 6 months. 4 months would make it easy for him to be back for camp. If it was 6 months, it could eat into the start of the season even.
If it wasn't the Super Bowl, do you think he would have been playing?
I do. I mean, I think Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys who cares so much about the team and his teammates that I think that if he felt that he could help the team, he would be on the field.
But does this last, though, Mark? Is this going to be something that can last? Like, could he have done irreparable harm to this?
Certainly, you can worsen an injury. You can make the ligament tear worse. You can do more damage to the joint. So is it possible that him playing in the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl damaged his joint further? Yes, that is possible. Do I think a well-done surgery should allow him to return to the field and be effective? I expect that. I think that that's how this is going to play out.
But I wonder if there's more damage there than just turf toe, if it's the plate itself, if that's involved in it, not to get too deep into the woods here, but how much more recovery time, how much more severe is this injury?
Well, sometimes you completely disrupt that plantar plate. Sometimes you break the sesamoid bones. There are two little bones that sit under that joint as well. Sometimes you damage the joint, and there's a little bone chip in the joint. So there are a number of things that can complicate this, but all of them shouldn't make his recovery extend out beyond 6 months.
We're finding out Dak Prescott had a second surgery, compound fracture and a dislocation here. How, like, is that normal? And how does that affect him long term?
It's not normal. You wonder, I mean, without knowing exactly what the surgery that was done. I mean, sometimes they go in to remove some of the hardware. Some of the hardware is symptomatic. Sometimes you go in because people are so stiff that they require a procedure to get rid of some of the scar tissue so that you can have more normal motion. And sometimes after a big fracture dislocation like that, you have to go in later to maybe remove a little bone chip or something that's irritating the joint. So all of those things are not good news. But I think he should be able to return and play well as a quarterback. You know, I mean, if he's a running back or a wide receiver, or, you know, a defensive back, I mean, it's a much bigger deal. Even though he is a somewhat mobile quarterback, I think that he should be able to return and be the old Dak Prescott.
How much progress have we made on Achilles tears?
There are more minimally invasive procedures that are out there now that I think are pretty darn effective. I think that the rehab has become appropriately aggressive. And so I think folks do better now with Achilles ruptures than they did a decade ago. And I think some of it's due to the more minimally invasive surgery, and some of it's due to the more aggressive rehab.
I'm going to open this up to the Danettes. Do you guys have a sports-related question, injury-wise, for Dr. Addix here? Because I had the microfracture surgery of my knee, and it didn't work, but I had six operations. I eventually got a replacement knee. Are they still doing microfracture surgery where they take the drill and go whip it into your knee?
It's much more rarely done. It is sort of a last-ditch effort in a younger patient to try to get some new cartilage to grow. Just so you know, I am the exact same boat. I had microfracture, a few more surgeries, and I have a total knee too. So the end result.
Yeah, I was
never after microfracture. Definitely replaced.
My career was never the same after that. Do you guys have this? Is free medical advice. So if you want to take Doc up on this, if you got a question here, McLevin, do you have a question for Doc?
I'll start. So I have a hip impingement, Doc. Am I making it worse by running? I jog. Am I making it worse, and will I eventually need a hip replacement because I have a hip impingement on my right hip?
All right.
So I am 59 years old. I haven't weighed less than 300 pounds in forever. Both my hips, I have impingement. I mean, I avoid positions that cause me pain, right? Most men have FAI or femoroacetabular impingement, and it does not necessarily mean that you're going to need a joint replacement. Now, I mean, as we age, sometimes we have to change what we do and maybe need to go from running to a bike or running to an elliptical or, you know, change it up a little bit, cross train a little bit. But no, I wouldn't tell you to necessarily go and have a hip scope to have that impingement removed, because who knows if that will actually make you better. You could end up like Dan here and have four more surgeries and then a hip replacement.
Seton O'Connor.
About 4 years ago when the Super Bowl was in Houston, we went and shot a bit where all of us went to a spin class. And it was funny because we were all out of shape. Well, most of us were out of shape. Okay, I was out of shape. And while we were doing that, when we were done, sometime later that night, my right knee exploded and was like four times the size it normally is. And I couldn't walk right for about 2 or 3 weeks. And now every time that I go do something, whether it's running or like play soccer with my kid or something, my knee swells up again. Do you think there's something wrong there?
Obviously, I think you tried too hard in that spin class. So you were up and out of the saddle, and you know, really grinding hard and going after it. Did you win? Did you win out of all the Danettes? Were you the winner?
I sure was not.
No, he was not. No. Do you think he needs surgery? Do you think there's MRI?
Well, all right. So when that happens, it's usually you're grinding some of the cartilage off the ends of your bone. Little pieces of cartilage flake off. The joint gets irritated and swells up. And so now when you're running around playing with the kids, this continues to happen. So, I mean, an MRI would show you whether this was a meniscus tear or more cartilage injury. Very often we have these injections. I call them an oil change. It's hyaluronic acid. And it's like an oil change for the joint. And sometimes that can help protect the cartilage and calm the joint down. But it sounds like you got some wear and tear in there for sure.
Paulie.
Dr. Addix, I was throwing some weight around last year in the weight room. And like my elbow where the joint is, if I put my arm straight out, it's the top, like the ligament or whatever it is at the top of the joint. And to hold stuff like in your hand, it hurts a lot. And rest, ice, all that stuff didn't help whatsoever. What are your thoughts?
Sounds like tennis elbow. If you stand up and grab a chair and try to pick up a chair by the back of a chair, how's that feel?
Horrendous. Awful.
Okay. Yeah, it's tennis elbow. So the medical term is lateral epicondylitis. Go to your orthopedic surgeon. Let them give you a cortisone injection. You'll be cured.
And we'll save the worst for last. Todd?
Yeah, I got a lot of problems. The bottoms of my feet, I went to a podiatrist recently, but I want to hear what you have to say. Right under the toes, I feel like I'm walking on a bump or like there's a sock stuffed in my shoe, and I'm not sure what's going on. He suggested eventually I may need physical therapy or needles, but what is this bump across right under my toes where it feels like I'm walking on like a little mini pitcher's mound?
You know, I mean, usually that's metatarsalgia. So the better question is, do you feel worse barefoot or do you feel worse with shoes on?
I feel worse with shoes on. And he sold me these little insoles to put in, and it told me to ice my feet, which it hasn't worked just yet. So I'm trying to figure out to avoid needles what I do with that.
If it feels worse with shoes on, then that usually means you have an aroma. So when the bones are pressed together by a shoe, it's irritating a nerve, and that nerve grows and makes a little, gets a little swollen. So those neuromas, usually they give you a metatarsal pad, and then so that spreads the toes apart. And sometimes they can do an injection to shrink that nerve. And the worst case scenario, they can do a surgery and actually go in and remove that nerve so it doesn't feel like that anymore.
Would you be willing to do a surgery here in the man cave on one of the Danettes, Doc?
You know, I think we could pull that off, you know, with some local anesthetic and a bullet to bite on. I think we could pull that off.
Do you realize that when I got the microfracture knee surgery, my doctor said, do you want to watch me do it? And he was going to give me a local and I could watch in the monitor. And I said, are you crazy? And he said, well, a lot of people don't want to be put under because of the anesthesia. And then you get nauseous when you wake up. He said, this is just a local and you could watch me send a drill bit through your knee. Do you do this? Do you allow people to stay awake?
I don't. You know, I actually did stay awake for one of my surgeries when I was a resident and I was actually training to be an orthopedic surgeon. I watched one of mine. But with my patients, I just think I did it a few times and I had patients that basically never quit talking the entire case. And it was a distraction. And so I just put him to sleep now.
Why is every surgery a successful surgery on an athlete?
I call it the beautiful baby syndrome. You know, I mean, we do a surgery and that's our baby. You know, no one's going to say their baby's ugly.
But everybody's surgery is a successful surgery, it feels like.
Yep. Yeah, we should have our hands bronzed after every case.
And do you make your patients put like, this is the knee that you're going to operate on? Like I had to take a Sharpie and I had to actually write my initials on it just so they asked me like 6 times, are we doing your left knee?
Yeah.
Yes. And then I go, God, these guys are incompetent. They don't know what knee that they're doing. They wanted me legally to keep saying, no, it's my left knee. All right, here's a Sharpie. We want you to write your initials on the knee that we're going to cut on. Is that normal?
No, every case, the patient and the surgeon have to write with a Sharpie on the knee. And you're going to be asked by every single nurse and every anesthesiologist. I mean, it's the worst case scenario, right? I mean, if you operate on the wrong extremity, you know, it's write him a check.
Did you ever?
There's no defense.
Did you ever do that? Did you ever?
Yeah, like I admit that to you.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Hey, Doc, always great to talk to you. We appreciate your time and hope you're well.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, Dan. Thanks, guys.
Dr. Mark Addicks, a former Super Bowl champ with Washington. He went to Harvard. By the way, if you couldn't tell people you went to Harvard, would we care about going to Harvard? Like, isn't that when you climb Mount Everest? If you can't tell people that you climb Mount Everest, would you climb Mount Everest? If that was part of it, you go, hey, you can climb Mount Everest, but you can't tell anybody you did this. Yes, Paul.
So we went around the room with Dr. Addicks, and he gave me the get a shot, no big deal, don't worry about it. And I feel totally better about my elbow. But then he gave Fritzy and Seton more like, this could be a thing.
I'm a little uptight about what I heard there.
Yeah, Fritzy's like, you may have to have a nerve surgery. And Seton's like, I'm not sure what you got, but you got to have a look.
Call it some kind of neuroma and needles, and if it's still bothering
well,
you.
Well, Seton should definitely, if your knee blows up like that, then you should go in for an MRI. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm good.
Well, if you can get through it, I mean, that's the key. You know, there's a lot of it you just tolerate. But after a while, you go, it's like with my knee. When I got my knee replacement, I'm like, why didn't I do this before? Well, because I was stupid. And I kept going, nah, I'm going to fight through the pain here. And then I realized, nah, let me do this. All good. Yes, yeah,
I'm not really a strong going to the doctor kind of guy. I'm not saying that's a good way to live, but I'm not great at that. Maybe I should try to be better about it.
I don't know too many people are that go, boy, I can't wait to go to the doctor.
Well, no, not just can't wait, but like, how about go once in 15 years?
All right, we'll take a break. Another doctor will join us, Doc Rivers.
Look at you. That's all you did there.
Thanks, Todd. Yes, Paul.
We should ask Doc Rivers the same medical questions.
Doc, can you explain turf toe to us? Paulie, tell Doc Rivers about your elbow.
How's your defense and how's my elbow?
I wonder if he's ever prescribed anything. But Doc Rivers, by the way, his first name is Glenn, and it was Doc Rivers, Dr. J, but Doc Rivers will join us coming up. Take a break, 21 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. You know what? All these surgeries that I've had, and you probably say, how does he do it? How does he get up every morning, come in, entertain a nation for 3 hours? Well, it's not easy, but I get to the studio and I hit the ground running. I want to know, what are the angles we're covering the lead story, the guest list? How do we make the show great? And you got to keep your energy up. That's why I start my day every day with M Drive, even when I'm not here at the Man Cave. the supplement for guys who want to stay on top. Powerful ingredients backed by science help me get energized, stronger, leaner. And as an athlete, or at least a former athlete, I've always been competitive, and you want to take that same competitive spirit to your job. It takes work, drive, and you want to be the best. You don't want to slow down. If you feel tired, sluggish, you're gaining weight, you're losing your drive, you can fight back. Try M-Drive for yourself. Everyday supplement for guys with drive. Get M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop, or go to mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com and refind your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Modern Family coming to Peacock. Stream every episode of the award-winning series for the first time. Don't miss out on all the laughs, tears, and favorite moments. Sign up at PeacockTV.com. Start streaming today. Shaq Barrett from the Buccaneers will join us on the program tomorrow. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales, service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans are built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile, taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. McLovin, update the poll results.
It's not a very good one. If you're a quarterback, would you rather have a great offensive lineman, wide receiver, or offensive coordinator? 91% lineman.
Okay.
As you said.
Ian Rappaport is reporting Orlando Brown of the Ravens, their tackle, wants to be traded. He tweeted his desire to only play left tackle. And the Ravens are really bent on improving that offensive line for Lamar Jackson. This is not the first step, I don't think, in improving that offensive line. And is it a coincidence that's being announced now? Probably not. Probably not. Let's see. What do we have? So we're waiting for Doc Rivers to join us, Fritzy?
That is correct.
All right. Texans have fired their team president, Jamie Roots. I don't know much about Jamie Roots. Did he resign? Resigning from his position effective today, according to Adam Schefter. I don't know what that means, but is this a surprise, McLovin? Is there any more buzz to this?
Well, the only because it's the Texans and everyone's wondering what's going on. And this Jack Easterby is still like NFL writers just are obsessed with him.
I don't get it. He feels like that he's kind of their sensei. He's their Gandhi there with the Texans. Yes.
It's this kind of stability that'll make Deshaun Watson want to stay with this organization, obviously.
Or is this a move because Deshaun didn't like that guy? But presidents are usually more like business guys, right? They do like
I'm going to guess that this guy probably didn't have much interaction with Deshaun Watson, right? I get that feeling. Yeah, Paulie.
What is the difference between an NFL team president and the general manager? The president would be the general manager's boss?
I believe so.
But does the...
No?
I had a friend from my high school became a team president. It's much more of a business role. It's like you oversee sales, you oversee stuff like that. You can't touch football. They're completely separate.
Okay.
Yeah. For most teams, it might be different.
So one is business side and the other one is player personnel.
Right.
Okay.
You probably never heard of most of the team presidents, I don't think.
No. But wasn't John Elway team president, or isn't he still team president with the Broncos?
I think he was called VP of personnel, then something, or CEO. I'll check.
Okay. Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind today? Hey, Jeff. And we'll try to get to Jeff later. Yes, Paulie.
John Elway's title was general manager and president of football operations. Yeah. And now he's just team president.
Huh. Okay. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. I mentioned earlier in the show that Tom Brady's had two Hall of Fame careers, maybe three Hall of Fame careers packed into one, and then Jerry Rice has had at least two Hall of Fame careers, and maybe three, but watching the Super Bowl the other night, and you started to think what Brady has done since he's 37. And I got to believe LeBron looks at this and goes, you know what? If he can do it, I can do it again. I want to be MVP. I think it's really important for LeBron to be MVP this year. And I don't know why. I just get that feeling. But, you know, if you're looking at Embiid or Jokic, like these guys are playing really well. Is Doc Rivers set to join us there?
Sure.
And there he is. the 76ers head coach. And were you a football fan? Did you watch Super Bowl, Doc?
Yeah, I'm a Bears fan. Hoping that we get Deshaun Watson soon and we can win the Super Bowl soon. So, yeah.
But you're used to seeing, well, you got 1 year with the Bears. So
85.
Yeah, that was it. Where were you in 85? 85, where were you?
I was playing for the Atlanta Hawks. I remember watching the Super Bowl with Scott Hastings, Tree Rollins, and Randy Whitman.
What did that team mean to you?
Oh, my gosh. It was the best. First of all, it was the best defense to ever play for one season in the NFL. I'm biased.
Yeah.
But I believe that. And their cockiness, you know, doing the Super Bowl shuffle video after game four and then going out and win the Super Bowl. That was a pretty cool team. So it meant the world.
Who's the cockiest team you've ever been around, either on or played against?
I would say the old Celtics. You know, the Larry Bird, Mikhail, Danny Ainge, Parrish. They just act like they were better than everybody, and they were. But they didn't have to act like that.
But you know, well, what is it like, though, that confidence that certain teams have when they just walk on the floor?
Yeah, I call it the championship swagger. You know, we had it the year we won it in Boston. That following year, Dan, we had games where no Ray Allen, no Paul Pierce, no Kevin, and we still won the game. We had games down in the fourth quarter that you can just feel like our guys kept thinking, well, we're going to win the game at some point. The Golden State Warriors have it. All the teams that win it kind of get it that following year.
But the role of you, your coach, being the coach with a team like that, it felt like Rondo was the coach on the floor. But as the head coach, can you allow Rondo to be your coach on the floor?
Yeah, if it's the right coach, you know. And Rondo was the right coach. You know, Rondo was just brilliantly smart guy, driven, competitive guy. So when you have that, then you have the right person on the floor.
Do you care that Rondo and Ray Allen don't get along? Like, do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. You know, it's something that I'm hoping at some point will subside. It hasn't yet. You know, it's tough because these two guys won a title together. And in most cases, when you win something together, you know, I always liken it to having a blood transfusion. You're bound together for the rest of your life. And these guys are, but not in the right way. And it has not gone away yet. And it's just too bad.
It feels like there's been player empowerment in the NBA for a while. You can go back to, you know, Charles tried to join the Rockets. Karl Malone and Steve Nash or Gary Payton. LeBron certainly has done this. Now we see Tom Brady going to Tampa, bringing in players here. Harden wants out of Houston. KD and Kyrie get together. Is this good for sports?
I think it is. I've never had a problem with it. I'll tell you that. I do have a problem when players leave my team. I've never liked that.
Do you take it personally when they decide they want to get out?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You should. I mean, you put so much into these guys, Dan, and you think you're doing the right thing. And then you get a call, hey, such and such wants to leave. And you take that personal. You don't take that, you know, that they want to go join another team and think that team is better. You even take that part personal. But I think, you know, listen, player empowerment is good in a lot of ways. Players for so many years really had no rights. You know, I was a player. And let's be honest, you have to play your way into greatness to be able to have that power. Because, you know, I was an average player, a little bit above average. I think if I had gone in and said, I want to get traded.
They would have.
They would have done it.
They're not sending you where you want to go.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. We're talking to Doc Rivers, the 76ers head coach. How does it go over in Philly with you being called Doc? And you know how 76er fans are. They're very territorial with the only Doc, and that's Dr. J.
Boy, I tell you, I love the fans there because they remind me a little bit of Boston. They have what you would call real passion. And so the building I'm living in, the doorman says, "Hey, you know I'm never calling you Doc." And I'm saying, "No, I'm good with that. You know, I thought it was a joke, Dan. I've been there now, but 6-7 months living there, and it's either hey, Mr. Rivers, or hey, Glenn. He is actually serious. He will not call me Doc."
Was Doc still around when you got into the NBA?
Yeah. I want to say he played 2 or 3 years. You know, I'd never met him. And the first game we played him, Dominique gets injured. And Mike Fratello comes up to me and says, "Hey, you're our point guard, but I'm going to need you to guard, you know, Dr. J." I was thinking this is not going to go well. And what was great about it, we come to the jump ball circle, and you know, Dr. J reaches out and says, "What's up, Doc?" And so that was a really cool moment for me. That was really cool. I was happy you did that.
And you got to go back to college when Rick Majerus was your assistant coach. And were you at a basketball camp when you wore the Dr. J t-shirt?
Yeah, I was a freshman in high school, and Rick and Al McGuire, they didn't know my name. You know, they needed me to play. The Bucks were there playing an exhibition game for us, the campers. They only had 9 players, and they needed a 10th player. And Al McGuire stands up and says, "Hey, Doc, come down and play." And I'm sitting there, like, looking just like all the other kids, thinking, "Who is Doc?" And he pointed at me. And I realized that I was Doc. And I found out after the game that Rick Majerus told him, "Man, that kid can really play." But I had a Dr. J t-shirt. So I told Rick and Hank and Al 50 times, "My name's Glenn. My name's not Doc." And they didn't want to hear it. So I just had to live with it.
How did Dr. J do against your defensive prowess?
He did well.
Yeah,
he did very well.
He did.
I don't know how well, but he did very well.
I remember we had Grant Hill on, and he said later in his career, you know, I was supposed to be this defensive stopper, you know, and he was a great offensive guy, but, you know, because he was limited with injuries, all of a sudden he was a defensive stopper. He's got to go out there and guard LeBron. And he said, "I'm not a defensive stopper, but I had to have a role, and that was basically it."
Yeah, it's a tough role, I tell you, especially late in your career. When I was with the Spurs, you know, I was coming off the bench my last 2 years, and Bob Hill would put me in just to stop people. Vinny Del Negro, unfortunately, got people really warm by the time I got in the game. And I remember playing Allen Houston in Detroit, and I call a timeout after 3 minutes on the floor, and Bob Hill's going crazy. "What'd you call a timeout for?" I said, I can't guard this guy. I mean, he was absolutely killing me. And, you know, everyone was laughing in the huddle. They thought I was joking. And I said, "I'm not joking. I can't guard him."
I love that you called a timeout, but also Vinny lets him score. You got to come in and try to, you know, shut it. He got him warm. Oh.
Yeah, we used to call Vinny kerosene, you know, because
How's your team, by the way?
I love them. And we have a lot of growing to do. Like, it's a very long, talented basketball team, figuring out still how to win, you know, and what winning looks like every day. They're young, Dan. I have to remind myself of that. Usually when you have a talented team that has a chance, you have a lot of veterans on it. This team, you know, other than Danny Green and Dwight, it's a really young basketball team. And so they're really fun to coach.
You know, and we look at this from the outside and we go, well, you should be able to help Ben Simmons shoot. Or, you know, it's like Lonzo Ball, we should be able to help him shoot. Is it harder to help somebody this late in their career? You know, when you're in your 20s, which sounds late that you haven't learned how to shoot or have that confidence. What role can you play in helping Ben be a better shooter?
Well, what you want him to do is first be a better player, you know, to show him what his talents can bring him. You know, for me, it's his passing, it's his defense, it's his playmaking, and then it's his shooting. I always start with the free throw line. You know, I think you gain a lot of confidence from that line. And, you know, our first conversation together, I told him, I want you to get on the line 10 times a game. I want you to make it to the foul line 10 times a game. And to me, that starts it, because when you see a player, Ben made two free throws late last night in the game. When you see a player willing to get fouled, that tells you that their confidence is starting to grow.
Yeah.
I think way too much were made about Ben Simmons and three-pointers. You know, I'm like, he doesn't need to be a three-point shooter. He needs to take them when they're there. You know, if you know what I'm saying. Jimmy Butler in the playoffs scored, what, 50 points last year without taking a three.
Yeah.
You know, so you can still be very effective, especially with Ben's body type.
What was that feeling like when you realized the Clippers didn't want to keep you?
Oh, it's a hard one, you know, because I know I can coach, you know. And so when you're with that team, and it was not an easy year last year, Dan. You're in the bubble. You know, half the guys didn't play most of the year. I mean, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, I think, had five practices together the entire year. So you know you never got a chance to coach that real team. And get them to their potential. But whenever you lose a job, it's hard, you know, because you believe you could do the job. And especially with that team, like I looked at that team and thought, you know, healthy all year, I think we would have been hard to beat. But we never had that. And the bubble was a disaster. We had guys, you know, I think Trez missed 30 days in the bubble. Lou Williams had, you know, chicken wing gate, if you remember.
How mad did you get at him for going out to get chicken wings?
I was upset at him because, you know, the thing was he went back to Atlanta for a reason. There was a death in his family. And we really fought for him to go. And then I get a late night call about the chicken wings. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And you know, but you got to move on with it. That's one thing in coaching and in life. Like the next day after me telling Lou how not smart that was, you're looking at your team like, I got to get this team together. So it puts you in a tough spot.
Have you been to Magic City, Doc?
Oh yeah, but it was a whole long, long time ago. I you know, I don't remember them having a kitchen. When I went.
Well, you probably went to Cheetah 3, maybe, or the Gold Club.
Yeah, that was back in the day of, you know, those clubs. I don't even know if they're open anymore. I'm assuming yes, because it's Atlanta. You know, it's funny, Dan, we're talking about Atlanta. And, you know, you remember the year we won in 2008? I made a comment after the Hawks beat us in, I think, game 6. I said, the city of Atlanta played wonderful today. And I was basically referencing, you know, we lost to the Hawks, but I have a strong suspicion that the city beat us.
The club circuit may have gotten a victory.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, but Miami would always worry. Did coaches worry about the Miami flu with their players?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, I used to make deals with our guys, you know, I would tell them that if we won, we were going to stay overnight that night. But the night before, just get some rest. Just get some rest. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't.
Oh, you're the best. Hey, congrats on the season so far. We appreciate your time as always. Thanks for joining us.
Great seeing you, man.
Thank you, Doc. That's Glenn Rivers there. Doc Rivers, 76ers head coach. Some fun stuff. All right, we'll take a break. We'll close up shop after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. That was a lot of fun. Denny Hamlin, our favorite NASCAR driver, joins us tomorrow, as will the Buccaneers' Shaq Barrett on the program. I've got something for you here. Tom Brady's won 4 titles after he turned 36. Bill Russell, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter won a combined 26 titles, none of them after turning 36.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
I was just informed that we're having a pizza party here on the Dan Patrick Show. And here's the big surprise. Todd is hosting a pizza party.
What? What are you talking about?
First time in 19 years that I've known you.
That just doesn't happen.
I've never seen your credit card before.
You have not. I rarely see it myself.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So,
That's what I'm talking about, pizza party.
Oh, that was one of my favorite moments, just to see. So we had lunch, and Seton had a pizza. So Seton ordered himself a small pizza. And Fritzy walked by and just put his clammy hand out there.
And it was a white clam pizza. So
and grabbed a slice and goes, that's what I'm talking about. And then Seton goes, yeah, all right, go ahead.
That's okay, Todd. Just eat my lunch.
Yeah.
To put a little context into it, to make it so I don't look like a total creep, I thought we were having some kind of group pizza party, and there was several pizzas boxes laying around, and that was one of the boxes.
Todd, there was one pizza box.
Okay. Do you really think I would just stick my hand in Seton's pizza? And
you did.
It's literally what you did.
Knowing that that's just his lunch, I would do that.
But you didn't ask. You just...
I'm trying to explain it, and I will forever explain it as I was under the impression it was one of several pizzas.
Oh, my gosh.
All having pizza.
It's a small pizza.
That was a real, like, indoctrination for the French kid who was pretty new at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, no, that's okay, Todd. Just go ahead, eat my lunch. His face. It was like the most horrifying thing he had ever witnessed. Like, and that was sort of a, so this is how things work around here, bud. So...
This is payback day.
Welcome.
Todd is going to, 6 years later, going to buy some pizza.
That is what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Forever in the Dan Patrick War.
You were so excited. Oh, you were so excited.
I think I would have preferred to have seen him punch me in the face to react the way he did. It would have been less comfortable.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, just eat my pizza.
Yeah. No, eat my lunch.
My lunch, whatever.
Eat my lunch. That's what I'm talking about.
I really felt bad about it.
All right, let's go around the room. Let's see. Can we do this day in sports history, Paulie?
Yeah, this is a good one. 1961, the AFL's franchise was originally in Los Angeles. They moved down to San Diego. I didn't realize that the Chargers were, for 1 year, 1960,
Chargers,
in Los Angeles.
Todd, what'd you learn today?
The doorman in Doc Rivers' building in Philadelphia refuses to call him Doc because Dr. J will only call him Mr. Rivers or Glenn.
I like that. McLovin?
I learned how he got the name Doc Rivers. Great story.
Seton O'Connor?
Peter King, a huge hype video guy.
Paulie?
Free medical advice.
What we learned brought to you by the amazing protein bars. There's a lot of protein bars out there, but there's only one Built Bar. Actually, there are 18 amazing flavors. Mint brownie, coconut almond, some of our favorites here. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP for 20% off your purchase. Thanks for the emails, phone calls, tweets, all around support. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Seton, Paulie, Fritzy, McLovin, yours truly here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards. It's shaped like cash. You know there's cash inside before you open it up. But in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cash back match, and you don't even have to send a thank you note back. How great is that? Conveniently called cash back match. Only by Discover card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover something brighter.